Like, have you ever been in a situation where you spent maybe 20, £30 for a friend, and it's almost like you're in a space where the money might be too small to ask, but you need it, and you kind of want them to kind of say that, oh yeah, by the way, sorry, I know that I spent this much and I'll pay you back. But some people don't do that, and it pisses me off so much because I would, if I'm owing someone money and I know it's a little, at least I will mention it because I know how awkward it is to bring it up.
I am Daniel Itomi, your host, and welcome to the 20-something Experience podcast, where we listen and learn from the lives and experiences of young adults across the world.
On today's episode called Money Can Buy Common Sense, we're going to be speaking about money and the various mistakes we make with it and money management. And I've got Kezia here to speak with me about this.
Hi, Daniel. Thank you for having me.
For everyone listening, Kez is a good friend of mine, and she's going to be speaking with me about money. And what we're actually focusing on is more about the misuse of money that we often kind of see in our early 20s. And it's a big topic because growing up, it's like people always argue that they teach you Pythagoras theorem, they teach you about gravity, but they don't teach you about money, which is something that's very practical that applies to you from as like little as possible. From when your auntie gives you money, then you give it to your parents and you don't see it anymore. So when you get some money when you're older from like different people, and you just kind of spend it on going to the cinema, eating out and all of that, no one really teaches you about saving. And it's like, I don't really think you can point fingers at anyone, because it depends on like just the values, and it depends on like your parenting and how you grow up. Because I know some people that their parents tell them to save everything, and they just keep the money away for them in an account for years, and it's only when they're much older that they see it. And some people where the parents just give them money and you do whatever it is with you want, and you kind of learn saving the hard way, because when the money finishes, you come back and it's like and you're like, oh, can I have some money? And they're like, nope. And me personally, growing up, I was more like, it was never like, oh, Daniel, save. It was more like, when I wanted money, I'd have it, but when it finishes and I'm like, oh, can I have more, it's like, where's the money that we gave you last time? So I wouldn't say like I'm not the greatest with money. I think this year is the year where I've really understood the value of saving. And Kezia, would you say you're good with money or bad?
I would say I'm I'm on a journey. I would say I'm on a journey with money. I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not where I want to be.
Look, so where are you?
I am in the middle. I'm in the middle. I would say I am I'm understanding the value of money more and the importance of being able to manage it. But I still have my times where I just feel like, okay, I need to get this, and it's never flimsy things. Maybe occasionally it is, but it's normally, technical stuff, stuff to do with my music equipment and stuff like that, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I need to get this, and I always have it at the back of my mind. So it's about learning to prioritize, and I feel like that's where I am right now. Learn to prioritize and more self-control, actually. Yeah
that's good. Did you know a lot about money management like growing up, or was it something you figured out like along the way?
No, I did not know a lot about it growing up. I feel my mum might have been a bit like how I am in terms of spending. I feel like, because sometimes I would just see her go out and come back with like new stuff, and I'm just like, don't you have to, in my head I'm thinking, oh, aren't these stuff you have to plan for to buy? But she would just go out. She would just go out and she would just come back home with new stuff. And I won't say that influenced me. I don't think seeing that influenced me, actually, but I feel like what allowed me to be in a space where I wasn't managing my money as well as I should have been was just the fact that there was no conscious teaching. So it wasn't a matter of observation, or just the fact that there was a lack of money management teaching around me, or rather there wasn't an emphasis on it. So yeah.
Yeah, that's the same for me, really. I kind of, it wasn't, no one actively told me that, oh, you must save. So obviously, like, my mom and, like, others would say it, but it wasn't like, this is how you should save. So for me, I kind of learned through experience, which is, like, experience is the worst teacher because you learn after the fact. And for me, it's like, I think back to when I was in uni, and I think, like, there's so much money I could have just kept. And like, I could have not bought this, I could have not bought that. But I also believe that, I know some people disagree, but I just firmly believe that money will always come. And not as a, like, kind of like a shallow belief, but in the sense that I work hard, I kind of try to get my hands in, like, different things and try to do different things. I just try to be as innovative as possible. So I know that money will come, you know. So I don't believe that, oh, what's because I, once I, like, spend on this, it's not going to come back and things like that. So my money attitude is really positive, and I also put a lot of action to back it. But fam, like, yeah.
No, but you know what, Daniel, honestly, I feel like that's the same, that perspective is a blessing and a curse for me, because that's exactly the same perspective I have, except for I haven't really put it in a controlled space.
Yeah.
I feel like growing up in Nigeria, like, for those years that I spent growing up there and everything, it took me from a place of, you know, I never had, like, a managing mentality, but it just put me in a place of living with, like, these open hands where I'm just like, it's always going to come back to me. Like, I'm always going to get the money. You know, no matter how much I give out, I'm always going to get this money back. There's always going to be money that will come through and come by. And so over time, letting go of money was just not difficult for me. Like, even, like, people that are around me know that it was just an easy thing for me to just be able to just give money and just give it, and, you know, spend it on other people. It's so easy, and on myself, because I always have that mentality of it's going to come back. It's about finding the balance, because yes, the money will come back, and, you know, but if you don't value money, you know, how you view money, that's how money will be to you. So if you see money as something that it's just flimsy, and, you know, not flimsy, but something that you could just, you know, dash out and, you know, not really have control over, then you wouldn't have control over money.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's really where I'm at now, learning how to still, because you want to keep that mentality. It is a beneficial mentality if you want to live a life that is, you know, giving. If you want to be a giving person, you need to have that mentality to a certain extent. But it's about finding the balance and just learning, you know, the right time, the right space, the right amount, you know, all these things.
Definitely. And that mentality is, like you said, is dangerous, because it's in reality, it's not really always the case, because we can control certain things, but it's not everything we can control. And it's like, you can't just have that mentality, oh, I know money will come back, so I'm going to spend £1,000 on this. For someone like me, I never buy, like, it's not like one item that, like, takes my money. It's like a collection of different things. So for me, what happens when I, like, would spend money a lot is, okay, say I get a lump sum of money, I'm more likely to then go out and, okay, I'll go buy this food, then I'll go grocery shopping and buy all these other, like, ancillary things that, like, I may not need, and things like that. So that's where, like, my money goes. And obviously, that's just a few things. So I'm not someone that, like, I'll just go on the mad run and go and buy, like, £100 shoes, because that's not the kind of person I am. But I'm more likely to kind of spend the money in little places, but the compound effect just adds up, and I'm thinking, like, wait, where did this money come from? And you never really understand money, for me, until, like, you're in university and you're living alone, and you realize that, like shit, like, some things are expensive. Like, I think for me, what I realized that was really expensive was air fresheners. There's this air freshener that you plug into the wall and you, like, kind of put the bottle thingy underneath it, and I don't even know, like, the name, but that's the one I used to buy. And, like, the first time I bought the whole pack, I was like, okay, fair enough, like, this is a decent price. But when it's time to renew, I'm thinking, like, wow, like, this is like, this it was like £3 or £4, and it's not like it's expensive. But you kind of think about it, and it's like, this is a lot of money. You know, you understand the value of money. Then you now kind of put it in perspective when you think about when your parents went and bought X, Y, and Z for you, and you're like, shit, like, like, this is money.
Yeah. Very true.
And for you, when did you kind of realize like the value of money? What mistake did you make that made you realize that, you know what, money is like this is like real?
For me, it wasn't even, let me summarize this. So my parents left me and my sisters like money behind, inheritance money. And, you know, when we got to 18, we had access to it. Obviously, we had the solicitor who was helping manage our money and keep everything intact and everything. But one thing I've noticed is once you get into the money the first time, once you touch it the first time, then it now it's like a never ending. You know, you just keep going back to it basically.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
not just so much you; it's sometimes also the people around you, they may ask repeatedly.
That is true.
You know. Exactly. I feel like that played a huge part. So apart from I was juggling two things. I was juggling having access to so much money as well as having so many people around, you know, requesting and so on and so forth. And it was just a bad combination. 2016 summer, where basically that was like when I first had access to that money. And I had used it, a lot of it, on helping other people, but I had also used it on you know, a very very expensive lifestyle in summer 2016, where yeah. I ended up spending about just over £3,000 in like 2 months. I think it was 2 months.
You know, to put it, what year was that? 2016. If you put it into context, yeah. right, I don't even know what the exchange rate was, but I know it was around 300, 400.
No, it went into, it definitely went, because around that time the exchange rate was a bit mad. So I know that I spent over $1 million now.
$1 million. On which, what?
Oh my god. But like, you know what? So this is, for me, that showed me how fast your money can go.
Yep.
I feel like it was later on. I think it was more like later on, because here's the thing with me, when it came to my inheritance money and everything, I've never felt like that's like for me, my mentality was, whether this thing is there or not, I'm good. Do you get what I'm saying? And I feel like I had even gotten to a point where I was just like, oh, this, because you know how money is. Money will cause issues with so many people for no reason.
Yes.
And so I had said to myself that I'd much rather this thing finish sharply, or let me just know that it's done. And let me focus on building myself up and having my own thing. Because as far as I'm concerned, this is actually my parents' money. So this is money that my parents work for, not me. So let me just get myself together and go, you know, anyhow, this thing finishes, that's that. But, you know, even though I had that in the back of my mind at points, like now, fast forward to 2020, I realize that money actually could have paid for my master's now. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So different things like that. And I thank God I'm never struggling or never, you know, in a bad position. Praise God. But you know, you just realize if you manage things better, it will save you all these stresses you have later on.
Yep.
If you just put it in the right place and don't touch it when you don't need to touch it. But you know what? As much as like, I feel like it's a balance for me, whereby it's like, okay, I acknowledge that I didn't manage my money properly, but I also acknowledge that I did not have the guidance that I needed. And so I feel like it just puts me in a place where I'm making sure for my youngest sister that I'm giving her that guidance that I didn't have.
Yeah, exactly.
Because she's not 18 yet, so she hasn't had access to any of hers. So, you know, I'm just making sure that, you know, I set out a good, you know, what's that word? Template structure for her to follow in terms of, you know, managing your money better.
You can definitely not be the example, because you've already failed at that. Like,
well, you know what? Yeah, it's not, you know what? I don't see it as a failure. Do you know why I don't see it as a failure? I don't see it as a failure because, first of all, I kept saying to myself that this is something that I don't want to rely on. And then, first of all, I feel like you fail at something when you've been shown how to do it and you don't do it properly.
True.
You can't fail at something you've never known how to do.
That's true.
I don't see it as a failure. I see it as a lesson. I'm happy in a way. I learned the lesson in a fun way. I pretty much lived my best life that year. So...
Oh man.
And I'm still gonna be rich in the future, so
yep, yep, yep. I think for everyone listening, right? At the bottom of the post for this episode, I think you tell us about or tell me about the silliest thing you've ever done with money and what your opinion is on whether you should kind of live lavish or you should just save for like from when forever how from like however young you are to like now. Because I feel like I need to know what people think regarding that, because obviously someone like me, I was somewhere in the middle. Now I'm just like like everything I get, I am saving. What am I saving for? Marriage, kids, like all these things. They are not in the purview for the next, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7, I don't know, 8 years, but I'm saving for all these things. And obviously there's like, because I feel like I was reading a about a financial planner, and she was basically talking about how there's some common mistakes that we make as young adults with money, and a lot of it is kind of like, she said, like the first one is letting your debts pile up, so like your loans and everything pile up. You don't pay it off kind of as soon as you can. The next one is not having a rainy day fund and an emergency fund, which is where like it brings me to my point of like the saving for marriage, kids, so on and so forth. I feel like people as a standard should have two types of savings. You have the long-term savings and you have your short-term savings. So short-term being what's the goal? For me, it's a new phone, a new laptop, and a PS5. If my girlfriend is listening, PS5. those are my goals. So like I have a short-term savings, save for that. Also for travel, for holidays, things like that. Then you have long-term, which is literally like long-term. So if your long-term goal is maybe starting a business, you save for that, because you never know what will happen in life. Like you look at what happened with COVID. Imagine if you had this long-term savings and you lost your job. Yeah, I think a lot of people would be in much better position, you know, at the very least. And this also goes back to things like you cut unnecessary expenses. If like you're living alone and something like COVID came, and it's an option to go back home, go back home. You know, it saves you the money, you know. If your parents are retired, like they're good for the rest of their lives. So it's like you can fall back on that. Then another one she said was spending at the rate of your earnings. Now this is where like I'm asking everybody, including myself, because you work a job, you earn 200, 300, say part-time anyway, 400, 500 pounds a month. And you then like go on holiday that costs 600, 700 or even 500. And it's like, I'm not saying you shouldn't, because this goes back to the question of, do you live lavish or do you save? Because then it depends on the kind of person you are. Someone like me, I wouldn't really go on holiday just because like it's just my nature. But if someone like you, Kezia, that wants to kind of live your best life in summer, like you're more likely to spend. Like what do you think? Where do you stand on live lavish or save?
Well, I'm going to correct the whole thing about me living my best life. Like, bear in mind, that was 2016. That was that summer. And this was a holiday that was already pre-planned with the family and everything. I just happened extra spending money while I was there. I'm very much on the side of... So you said live lavish or...
Save.
Save, exactly. I'm more on the side of save. I believe being able to save is a privilege. I don't see it as something that's just, you know, I save as a hobby. It's actually a privilege to be able to save. You need to have a good amount of income, of course. And I'm not saying you have to be rich, but you know, you have to have consistent income to save, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a privilege to save. The reason why I'm not on the lavish side is because, like we've discussed already, or like you've mentioned, is for me a huge issue is loans. I believe that loans are for the rich. I believe if you don't have money, you shouldn't be taking out loans, because loans are set up in such a way that, you know, to keep you in debt, especially if you're the kind of person that does not pay off straight away. And so I'm 100%, I mean, I feel like some people are gonna come at me for saying this, but I'm just really against nouns.
I agree 100%.
I've seen that they've taken loans over to clothes, you know, stuff like Klarna, and you pay monthly or pay weekly for an outfit that you buy on like Pretty Little Thing and stuff like that. And I just feel it's just setting you up to fail. So, and you know, obviously this is another thing as well about you, your expenditure being more than your income. It shouldn't be like that. I'm acting like myself too, you know. We shouldn't live that way, because if we're actually saying that we're trying to create stable lives for ourselves, there's no stability where there is uncertainty, and there's uncertainty where there's no savings. You know, we need to save. I may not be saving for marriage or for kids or whatever, but I need to save for myself for one.
At least, you know.
And so yeah, I feel like I'm definitely on the side of saving. Saving is a privilege. If you get the opportunity to save, take it straight away. Don't see it as, oh, I'll do it later. No, actually, with saving, there's no such thing as later, actually, if we're being very honest. Because with saving, it starts in that moment now. If you wait for later, you'll still start with zero. Do you get what I'm saying? So you need to start now. There's no such thing as later with saving. And in regards to lavish living, Omar, guys, you've got time. It's true, though. Well, like, there's time.
Honestly, and I feel it just depends, because it's like a lot of the time when you look at the lifestyle people you want to emulate, like people, some people are able to kind of live lavish because they have the savings to back it up, you know. Like your favorite artist might be able to spend X, Y, and Z, but he might have the savings to back it up. Mm-hmm. And we've also seen like multi-million artists, players, celebrities that have lost everything. Yeah. And obviously sometimes it's not just down to savings, but it's like we need to take it seriously. And another thing the planner said is that one thing, which is something I'm a big culprit of, is that once like I kind of I start earning more, I kind of start spending more. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like it shouldn't be so. Just kind of like, obviously there's some necessities that would have to change once you start earning more, but if it's not a need, and I'm not talking like a personalized need, like if it's not a genuine need, then don't get it, just save that money. Yeah. And it's something that I just tell myself now, like everything I get, like save, because I'm so bad, because like my NYSC money, I didn't save anything. Mm-hmm. And I finished NYSC in October last year, so it's something that I'm definitely learning. And I'm just reading what this financial planner is like saying. It's like a financial advisor. It's really like kind of like hitting home, because I'm like, shit, like I should have saved in this. I should have started saving a long time ago. And one of the main points that I would say that she said was basically kind of what you said, start saving now. Like, don't start tomorrow. Don't start, okay, when I start again. Just start now. And it doesn't have to be a large amount. Like, start saving small. Once you start earning more, start saving more. It just kind of works like that. And like, and one important thing with money is that I don't know what it is with it, but it has such a strong hold on people, because when you're most desperate for money, that's when you make the stupidest decisions. And like, I remember I tell people in my office this, that when you're desperate for money, that's when you shouldn't kind of get into something that says, oh, money will come back quickly, because I don't believe in quick money. There's nothing like quick money. Whether you invest in the stock markets or Forex, it's not quick money, because you have to have the money anyway.
Yeah. So I feel like, look, when it comes to investments and stuff, people invest because they have money. they invest when they're mostly rich or they're financially stable. So if you're making investments when you're not financially stable, that's a bit backwards. I feel like that's really backwards. And you know, I'm not coming for anyone, because I feel like at times I've probably done stuff like that too. You know.
We all have.
We need to let's just investments. You know, let's have a little bit of money first before we do investments, guys.
You know, like,
I'm not saying be rich, but I'm saying have a stable income. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like with saving, you can make a bit of an exception. If you don't have a stable income, at least you get gift money here and there, whatever, take 10% out of that, you know, or whatever. If you get what I'm saying, it's not 10, yeah. But take a percentage out of that and save to the side. That's calm. But you want to go and do an investment when you're not financially stable, or more, you'll suffer.
And you're prone to make a bad decision because you're more kind of like, I need money. And if you don't have the self-control, it's like you could do something really stupid. Mm-hmm. And I think saving as well, it's like, because bank credits are not good. So I think also putting like the money in like some like mutual funds in a safe investment space that is trusted. And you know, the returns will not come in like a month or two, but you know that in a year, in 2 years, when you like, you won't forget about it. Like you're getting good returns on it. Mm-hmm. No, like I'll give an example. Like there's some guys I know that basically like they really needed money. So they put together about 150,000 naira and they gave it to another guy to invest in Forex for them. Mm-hmm. And this guy promised them that, oh, that they'll be getting a returns of 100k each.
Almost.
Mind you, their investment was 150k. And I'm not saying it's impossible and I'm not taking a shot at Forex. Mm-hmm. But like I said, when you're looking for money, do not jump into a get-rich-quick scheme. It will not work. Mm-hmm. And if it works, it's like, if you see it working for people online, that is one out of like how many thousands or million. And today, now they are chasing the guy because what happens? The guy says that the money has gone, that he has lost the money.
Yeah.
And now what he's looking for is to pay them back their investments. And you see, like, that is a sticky situation. And when money is involved in like a lot of things in life, things get really awkward. Like, have you ever been in a situation where you spent maybe 20-30 pounds for a friend and it's almost like you're in a space where the money might be too small to ask, but you need it, and you kind of want them to kind of say that, oh yeah, by the way, sorry, I know that I spent this much and I'll pay you back. But some people don't do that, and it pisses me off so much because I would. If I'm owing someone money and I know it's a little, at least I will mention it because I know how awkward it is to bring it up.
Yeah. You know. Thank you. Sorry, can I, do you know what? I'm just going to quickly address this, you know, because I need everyone to hear this, especially people our age and people who are young, because you guys don't care about anyone but yourselves. You're so selfish. You're so flipping selfish. Let me tell you guys something real quick, yeah? If someone gives you money, if you go into someone's money, yeah? Put yourself to the side. Put your little self to the side for a second and consider the fact that people are actually struggling out here. If I lend you some money, don't make me chase you up for it. I didn't have to chase you up when you wanted it. So don't come. Don't keep that same energy. That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry I had to switch up on you guys and go from my proper talking vibe, calm vibe, but you guys make me so angry. This is why people don't like lending you money, because you don't know how to be mature about it. A mature person will not make someone chase them up about money. If you come ask me for some money now and I lend you some money, don't you dare make me chase you up unless it's going to be a different story. God bless you. Let's go back to it.
Fam, you know, it should be a rule, because it's something that I speak about with my friends. It's like, why is it? Because obviously I've owed like people money, and sometimes I genuinely forget. But a lot of the times when I remember, I always text and be like, I'm like, oh, sorry, I know that I haven't paid back, but this is it, this is that. Like, keep the line of communication open, because it's awkward, one. And two, it's almost like there's some people that once you remind them, they're almost like, do you think I will now pay you? And before you know it, you're now beefing. Not like beefing over. Like, sometimes it's like a measly amount of money. But you might need it. And sometimes it's just the principle. Like, I may not need the 10, 20 pounds or the 5,000 naira. But just out of principle, when you were asking me for the money, like, you remember that you needed it. But now that you need to pay me back, you suddenly have amnesia. You're suddenly like, oh, sorry, I forgot. It's like I don't like, as long as you just remind, because it's such a bad habit, you know. So if you borrow money, remember that energy you used to ask for the money to be reminding them, because it's not like it's not like people are, I don't think people are, especially if it's friends, like no one is saying that, oh, you must pay me back by this time, well, depending on your friend, but we're just kind of saying that, just bring it up, you know, let me not chase you up, because when you needed it, like, you were chasing me. But now that's like, it's like time to pay back. It's like, okay, everyone's mute now, and it's so bad. And when money is involved in things, it's like, nah, it's horrible. It's like money, like, will break relationships.
I'm happy when it comes to this whole money thing that I've never tried to rely on anyone. I will never try to rely on anyone. God has given me hands. He's given me a brain. What more do I need?
So, simple as.
Exactly. Let's all get up and go and do what we need to do in this life. Let's stop relying on people. Let's manage our money better and move forward. Like, we can all be the best version of ourselves without relying on someone else. You don't need someone else.
Honestly, honestly. Because they will, there's disrespect. Once you're dependent on somebody, there's a disrespect. Somebody will vex one day and say, yeah, it's because I give you 20K. And you just look at them like, wow. Mm-hmm. Like, bro, was that me? And it's like, the moral of the story is that let's just be prudent, be smart with money, save. I'm for save. Like, I think you can live without some of the holidays, like some of the expensive holidays. Exactly. Every now and then, like, spoil yourself, you know, to be like, do something like you would love and you would enjoy, but at the center of it there should be savings. I don't think, like, as you go into your 20s and you get into your 30s, you should have a very, very good amount of money in your savings. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please don't forget to like, share and comment on this.